Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, tonight, Devils at the Sabres, and it's Founders Night at KeyBank Center for a 7 p.m. face-off. Sabres game night on MSG is at 6:30 with Brian Duff and Martin Biron. You can also catch pregame coverage on WGR 550 beginning at 6 p.m. with Shope and the Bulldog, with Rob Ray making his live appearance during their show at 4 p.m. The Bruins scored three goals in the third period to extend their winning streak to seven games in their 3-1 victory over the Canadiens yesterday. David Pastrnak scored his NHL-leading 25th goal of the season. David Backes, Jake DeBrusk, they each scored. Tuukka Rask, 28 saves, and Joel Armia scored. Carey Price, 31 saves for Montreal, who is 0-5-3 in their past eight games and let in a bunch of goals. Tune into One Bills Live from noon to 3 today with John Murphy and Steve Tasker. They'll be joined by NFL Network's Brian Baldinger, NFL Vice President of Broadcasting Michael North, and Bills color analyst Eric Wood. The NFL announced scheduling changes for Week 15 on Sunday, December 15th. The Bills are at the Steelers that Sunday, and kickoff has been moved from 1 p.m. on CBS to 8:20 on NBC. With the move, the Vikings and the Chargers has been moved to 8:20 on NBC to 4:05 on CBS. The Ravens beat the 49ers yesterday 20-17. Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson threw for 105 yards with one touchdown rush for 101 yards rushing. And Jackson has become second NFL player in NFL history with 25-plus passing touchdowns. And the Bengals earned their first win of the season yesterday with a 22-6 victory over the Jets. And that is your sports update for today. It's actually National Day. You know what National Day fits you perfectly, Riv? You know who that is? So we join Craig Rivet back on the Instigators. Also joined with us is Ken Danico with the New Jersey Devils, obviously face of the Devils for many, many years. Eh? Mr. Devil, they called him.
A face for radio. Well, that's why I'm on with you guys.
Well, hold on. Right. I'm about to carve one of those faces for radio right now. You know what today is, Riv? It's National Mutt Day. No, it's also National Fritters Day, too. I am an apple fritter guy. Yeah.
National Mutt Day, is that as in dogs?
Yeah. Yeah,
I have two. I love dogs, so that's.
What do you got? What kind of dogs?
I have a Westie named Puck and a Golden Doodle named Stanley. Only fitting, right? You get it, yep. Stanley and Puck.
I have a Golden Doodle also.
Aren't they the best?
Yep.
Awesome.
Amazing
stuff. And when I'm depressed going home and things aren't going well for our team right now, they always put a smile on your face when you
Absolutely.
See your dogs.
Yep.
Well, tell us about that team. I mean, a lot going on around the squad. Obviously, standings wise, mm-hmm. but also now talks of the team listening to teams calling about Taylor Hall. So I don't know which one is the bigger news for you, but both. Both big news right now, as I think the Devils were trying to, climb the other way.
I don't know exactly where to begin, and obviously going into the season there was high anticipation because of the acquisitions they made in the offseason, and for whatever reason thus far, and we know sports, anything can happen, they just haven't gelled as a team and found consistency. I use the terminology, there's a lot of good players, they just haven't found out quite yet or how to be a good team, and we know it's a fine line winning and losing in this league, and to win those one goal games and they're in most of their games and they shoot themselves in the foot or unravel, and that's becoming a team, and they're still trying to figure that out. A lot of hockey left, but very unfortunate where they are in the standings, and again, they've got to dig their way out of it the best of their ability. I know they're falling behind here, and I don't even talk playoffs or whatever it may be because I know how tight this league is. But you always believe you can put a 10-game win streak together and get yourself back in. But they've got a long way to go, and there's a lot of question marks for sure.
Is there just players that are underachieving? Mm-hmm. Is it you're talking about having a team kind of build together? And you know as well as I do, when you bring in some new faces, got your young buck and Jack Hughes and a Wayne Simmons and Nico Gusev.
Gusev,
and you know PK Subban. Sometimes it just takes teams a little bit longer to gel. We all know that the teams that gel together are the ones that seem to have the success. And is it just players underachieving? There hasn't been that gel yet. What are you feeling?
I think it's a combination, Craig, for sure. I mean, with all these new faces and there's been a lot of line juggling along the way trying to find out the right combinations. And yes, a lot of their top guys have underperformed for their standards, guys that you expect to produce and get you that big goal, that big timely goal. In the start of the season, goaltending was a big difference. Probably could have won 3 or 4 or more of those games, and they didn't perform up to their capabilities. Now the goaltending's been pretty solid. That's the thing that you ask your goaltender to give you a chance every night, and then they're not scoring any goals. So it just kind of hasn't come together, and that's the gel part I think you're talking about. Again, there's a lot of good players. They care. They're working hard. I know at times fans, you know, they're and that's understandably so, and it's in every city. No matter what sport, they get angry. They get upset. They go, well, why is this guy not doing that? And this guy, they're not working hard enough, or they're not, you know, kind of performing to their capabilities. And some of that's true, but the work ethic's there. It's just not the thought process.
So what needs to change here? Is it a shakeup of the lineup, a trade? Is it ultimately just giving the team more time to gel?
Again, I still think there's something there, certainly with the guys they have. Gusev's really come on. Wayne Simmons has played well, but the problem is a couple guys play well, a couple other guys drop. So they all haven't collectively played together. I guess, again, we go back to becoming a team and gelling together and playing for one another and following up a good shift with another good shift. And that's just been too far and few between along the way. Do they need a shakeup? Well, I think that's inevitable. I think certainly General Manager Ray Shiro is exploring all options. You mentioned even Taylor Hall along the way.
That would be a shakeup.
Yeah, that'd be a shakeup. Look, obviously, he'd be crazy.
Not shake up because he's a problem. Shake up because of the circumstance that they're under with him under contract and everything else.
Exactly. And I love Taylor Hall. I mean, he carried this team 2 years ago to an improbable playoff appearance, which nobody thought. Everybody thought they'd be at the bottom. This year they didn't think they'd be at the bottom, somewhere in the middle, and they're sitting at the bottom. And again, that's the way it goes sometimes in sports and figuring things out. But you would receive something pretty good for Taylor Hall, I would believe, because, you know, he has not had the year that he certainly would like. He's been snake bit, can't score, still sets up plays. He's had plenty of assists. He makes real good plays, but it's just been a little off, and he'll be the first to admit that.
Yeah.
And for this team to win, you need your big scores, especially I look at the other game the other afternoon against the New York Rangers. You're down 1-0. You're playing a pretty good game. You can't score. Georgiev's playing pretty well for them. You've got all kinds of power play time, a double minor that you give up a shorthanded goal, a 5-minute major, you're only down 1, you have an opportunity. That's handing the game to you kind of 2-1, thinking, go get a goal, go get another, and you find a way to win this game. Well, they crumbled, and all of a sudden they're down 3-0 with 2 shorthanded goals, and that's just kind of the way it's gone. And you'd have to think, you know, you need your top guy to bury one or make a play. And that's nothing against Taylor Hall, because I'm one of those guys that I think you need stars. So I'm kind of caught in between. But having said that, you cannot lose him for nothing at the end of the year if he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So you have to listen to offers and explore it anyway. But I don't think anybody's really untouchable except a couple of guys, maybe Heisher and Hughes and a few guys, that you have to look what's out there. Because sometimes you just need to change that chemistry so maybe you can gel. And it doesn't always have to be a blockbuster deal, although if it is Taylor Hall, it will be exactly that.
And I ask, I mean, and it brings me to the question of morale in the locker room. I mean, here's a team that you said had higher expectations, and now they're not where they want to be. Now, we saw what St. Louis did last year, and teams can turn it
Everybody kind of has that little hope. I know that's a rare – that might be –
We're all hanging on that.
That might be a one and done, right?
Well, hey, it's been done once.
So you always have some belief, right?
There's always belief. You can never say it's impossible. You can never say it's impossible because St. Louis did it last year. But listen, I mean, what's it do for morale or the morale in that room when the guy who is – you know, set to become probably the biggest name free agent this year.
The marquee guy, for
sure. Isn't performing. I'm not going to get on a criticism train of Taylor Hall, but just in terms of the maybe the potential loss of that player to your team.
Is it a distraction?
Yeah.
Is it a distraction to Taylor Hall? Is it a distraction to the players? Now that this has come out in the media, they're reading it. They're having to answer questions on it, and it's going to be continuous throughout your entire season now that this has been opened up into the media. Players are going to have to answer the question. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Taylor Hall? Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Sure.
First off, Ray Shearer, Taylor Hall, and his agent have had great communication. I know Taylor has enjoyed New Jersey, and that there's no question about that, just talking to him. He wants to win. I respect that. Like any player does, you should have that drive and that compete level. You want to be a team that at least has an opportunity, if it's not this year, in the next few years. And he has to look at that. Is this just kind of a abysmal type of year that it just didn't work out for them and they are going to gel because there are pieces in place? Or does he feel that, maybe I should go somewhere else because I have one opportunity in a lifetime to become a free agent? They've kept it out of the locker room, I think, for the most part. It's been real positive from that standpoint. But now it will start to linger a little bit, Craig. And until a decision is made, whether he signs or whether they make a deal, there's going to be obviously some talking along the way from Ray Shearer's standpoint, and rightfully so. But I like I said, watching what Taylor Hall did 2 years ago in the Hart Trophy in the MVP season, he's a guy I love as a player, and he's a guy that cares. And yes, has it worn on him a little bit? I would imagine, because, you know, he is a free agent. It hasn't been his best year yet, like the rest of the Devils, not on Taylor Hall. Yeah. And he still leads the team in scoring, because that's what top players do, as far as they can still make plays and create offense. But, he says time and time again, I got to bury some goals and win some hockey games for this team in those 1-1 games, tight games, to make a difference. So it's going to be interesting here. Will it start to rear its ugly head? I'd imagine a little bit. But you know what? Players play, and that's what you have to do. They've got a lot of other problems to try to dig out of, and that's go try to win a hockey game against the Buffalo Sabres tonight, who are a team that, you know, has aspirations of playoffs, and they're a much better team, improved team. So they're just trying to get a win. But every time the Devils, they have a big win in Montreal, come back against their biggest rival, the New York Rangers, and lay an egg kind of thing. And that's been the problem all season long, to sustain those keeled and put a win streak together and play the same way and same mentality.
It's funny you say that, though, because we were just talking about emotional games, and I feel like the Sabres took that emotion against the Leafs over the weekend and elevated their play.
Where three out of 4 points.
Yeah, and I would have expected that from every team. We know, like, I played against the Rangers when I was a Devil, and I know the magnitude of that, the rivalry of those two teams. But I ask you this, and we were talking before you came on, what are some of the changes you've seen in this Sabres team? I mean, because last year they had the 10-game win streak. There was a big fall off, but have you seen a different team, even though they're struggling right now from the start of the season? As a casual observer, yeah. I know you have your team you got to watch in other games, but from what you've seen so far.
Well, I have said it. I do NHL Network as well, guys, and I've talked about the Sabres at the start. Everybody's this terrific start that they had, and everybody was saying on the network, well, don't forget what happened last year. There was a big dip after that, and I said, this to me looks like a different Buffalo, different Sabres team, a different feel than that team that went on a 10-game win streak. It was more jaded, I would say, from the standpoint they won everything in overtime in one-goal games.
Their goalies, though, too, in that stretch were
outstanding. Now they had their dip this year, but you see it from their young guys, their leadership, from Jack Eichel. To me, he's matured as a player. You can see it. You feel it. Even from an outsider looking in, through those down times the Sabres had when they were struggling to win games, he was still producing. He was still being a leader. You got a better defense core, I believe, obviously,
yeah,
on the back end. Ralph Krueger, I think, has done a good job as a boss, leading his charge. He's a good communicator. Watching that, players respect that, so that you don't, you know, you go in a little bit of a slump. Every team's going to do it for the most part, except maybe a couple of top teams like the Bruins or whatever, that it's how you get your way out of it. It's an 82-game schedule. It's a long season. And then they go have a real good weekend against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who were surging after getting a new head coach. So all those little things tell me that the Buffalo Sabres have taken that little step. I'm not saying 100% they're going to be a playoff team, but they certainly have that opportunity because I feel they're more balanced. I feel they're young guys have developed and matured a little bit, and that's a great sign for Sabres fans and this team from my standpoint.
Is it fair now? And I think we always have in terms of the ability of the player, and the player that I'm going to talk about is Jack. Is it fair to say now that he is amongst the elite of the elite in this game? Like, from, you work with the NHL Network. I mean, we all know the Drysdales, the McDavids, the Pasternaks, the Matthews, all the star players, the usual suspects over the years. And I feel like Jack has slowly grown into becoming one of those players. But is it safe to say that he's there right now?
No, gosh. Well, he's got a long way to go. You're talking Jack Hughes, right?
No, I'm talking Eichel.
Oh, Eichel.
I'm still on Eichel. We have a Jack here, right?
Oh, jeez,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, this is a Saber show. You saved that for your Devils broadcast.
Is Jack
right?
Eichel there? No question. If he's not right there, he's like, you see me holding my fingers, a sliver below. Because, look, what Dreisaitl and McDavid are doing in Edmonton is remarkable. That is as good a dynamic duo as I've seen. I joked on NHL Network once and said, why are the Edmonton Oilers better? Well, he basically, Dave Tippett has told them, the rest of you guys just don't screw this thing up. Play smart. Play sound defensively. Yep. And eventually, McDavid and Dreisaitl are going to win us the hockey game. Well, now they've got some structure and they're playing well. But Jack Eichel has taken the next step, no question. I mean, there's one thing, and I will say this, and I say this strongly. There's one thing about offensive production. You need these guys to score and put up points. Sometimes people look too much at numbers, in my opinion. What else are you doing to help your team win? And I speak from the standpoint of being fortunate enough to be on three Stanley Cup championship teams. Scott Niedermeyer, Jacques Lemaire said to him one time, and I'm not saying they don't want Jack Eichel to have 110 points. Well, of course, that's going to help you win.
Yep.
But in certain games, Jacques Lemaire took Scott Niedermeyer aside. He wanted to trade his second year because he wanted to freewheel and flow. And Jacques Lemaire kept saying, Scott, please be patient with me. I want you to be able to play in every situation. Do you want 700 points at the end of your career or 1,200 and no championships, 700 and possibly Stanley Cups? And he nailed it right on the head. And Scott Niedermeyer will tell you the same. Well, that sacrifice meant that I don't have to look for my cookies and get caught on the wrong side of the puck and make a bad. He became a complete player, and it took him some time as a young player because he was frustrated because Niedermeyer was capable of going up ice all night.
Yeah, but do you think that would have worked with any coach? Because that was Jacques Lemaire saying that to Niedermeyer. Yeah. Now, when I say that, I had the luxury of playing for Jacques for 1 year, and the way
it's not cheating on the wrong side of the puck when you're down 2-1 or up 2-1 type of thing. I think young guys learn that. Look at the Washington Capitals. It took Alexander Ovechkin 10 years. In my opinion, he started to do things different in those playoffs when they won the Stanley Cup. He was blocking shots. He was foot inside the blue line instead of foot outside the blue line.
He went on offense to score goals.
Right.
He went on defense to rest.
And some guys are never going to be great defensive players. Yes, you're absolutely right, Craig. Right? That's a good analogy. Are going to be great defensive players, but it's just a commitment, an effort.
It's a commitment.
I'm starting to see that from Jack Eichel, and that will make his team better because he is their leader.
Yep.
He is their go-to guy. Yeah, you need him to be dynamic and a highlight reel every once in a while and win you a hockey game with an outstanding goal or an assist or play he makes, but it's learning everything about the game. That is how you win championships. Every team that's won. The St. Louis Blues last year, yeah, they had talent, but it's the commitment as a team.
Stevie Y.
So that's what you're starting to see, Stevie Y.
Stevie Y was a guy that could have had 125, 50 points every single year, but he bought in.
Yeah, right? I always use the comparison, and ours was defense because we were built in defense, was Scott Niedermeyer. I mean, he could have had way more points. There's no question. What's that?
Is that because the environment? You were part of his upbringing.
Yeah.
And Scott Stevens was part of his
upbringing. Well, Scott Stevens 1 year led our team in points, if you can believe it, in the year we lost to the Rangers in double overtime game, 794. Scott Stevens had 78 points. He dropped to about 25, 30 points, but we were winning Stanley Cups because they had a role for him that he needed to be our shutdown go-to
guy. How hard
guy,
is it to do that?
Really hard. It sounds simplistic. And, again, I'm not saying take away from guys' points, but the outside looking in, whether it's fans, whether it's people, that everybody's looking at the stat sheet. Okay, he's got 15 goals and 15 assists in 26 games, yet their team's out of a playoff picture, whatever that may be. There's a lot more to winning. You know what I mean? And that's your top guys buying in. It's hard. You're absolutely right. Because
there's got to be a grapple there for those players.
You have agents. You have analytics now that's so heavily involved that you got to have numbers. That's what's going to get you paid. You know, so for coaches and managers when you're structuring a team, the Boston Bruins is probably the best example. Some of those guys have taken real cap-friendly deals, have they not?
Yep.
And I know it's a business. You want these guys to get as much as they can. God bless them for that. But the Bruins players abide in knowing they have a chance every year to win a cup.
Yeah.
And they not only sacrifice on the ice, sacrifice a little bit off the ice.
Super frustrating that they took those deals.
Well, how much would Pastrnak be making now if he took
about
a three-year
deal? Right,
Brad Marchand had 100 points last year. I mean,
he's one of the best players in the National
League. He scored 38, 39. I mean, every year
those
he
are all
is
cap
a
Bergeron, all cap-friendly. Now, the Bruins have done a good job of making it such an atmosphere that these guys, I don't know, maybe they're frustrated behind closed doors and go, I can't believe I took
star-studded players that produced
deal,
each and every night. But the guys that they brought in, like Jake DeBrusk, being in that environment, learning from those top-end guys, I mean.
What you alluded to with Anita Meyer, no question. He learned that, but there was still frustration to get these guys to buy in. And all of a sudden, I remember the third year after he finally learned both ends of the rink and could be played in every situation, and Niedermeyer could have played 60 minutes because he was an effortless skater. Jacques Lemaire, in our defense meeting once, goes, okay, in that French accent, which I loved, he goes, all you D, unless you're 110%, you cannot pinch. Nieder, you can go anywhere you like. You know, you're the only one that can get back. So kind of, it was like saying, young.
He's pretty blunt, eh?
Yeah.
He's
he was great. That's what I loved about him, because he communicated. He would just give you a little smirk and keep pounding home what your role is. Whether
these
it's
two
me
lines,
from a defensive
you can go anywhere. You two lines, you get puck in deep, but you go get it.
It was so, it was
you
hilarious.
Played for, didn't you? Was that Lemaire?
Lemaire?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
He was with the Canadiens at the time, as kind of like an advisor to the advisors behind the scenes, always that guy helping
and
out.
And that's when we had Lemaire, Robinson. I mean, if you can't listen to these guys who didn't have enough fingers for rings, whether it was as a player or in management or in coaching, obviously you buy in a little more. When you said, Craig, how hard is it for these young players that are real offensive to buy in? It's going to take a little more to be a team and win championships and be part of that. It's not just about you putting up numbers. There's more to it. Well, when it's coming from Lemaire and Robinson, it makes it a little bit easier to kind of buy in, right? But that's very hard for young guys. I see it all the time. I've seen so many talented guys. I bet you guys coming out of junior, whether it was friends or teammates, I go, what happened to that guy? Like, he played 2 years in the league, and he's out of league. Like, I'd realize 2 years later, I go, he was so good, so dynamic. And I found out why. He was kind of became the jack of all trades, master of none, that he couldn't quite do what he did in junior or whatever it may be, and didn't adjust and buy into, you know, having a role.
You say that about Lemaire and Larry Robinson. The one thing I'll say is I couldn't get over in 2009-10 when I got to New Jersey. I remember bringing home like the roster of like the front office and the players and the trainers and everything. How many Stanley Cups there were in that organization and management, not just in the locker room, but just all over the organization as a whole.
And they've taken a step back right now, obviously. But you know what? You try to build back up to it. But you want to build that culture, that tradition. And, yes, you need talented players, and the game has evolved. We know that, right? Where every team has top players and star players. But anytime you see the team hoisting the Stanley Cup, they have that little extra, don't they? They have that team that comes together and sacrifices a point here or a guy that thinks he should be on the second line and maybe should be just dropped to the third or fourth line for the better of the team, right? So that's management, that's coaching, figuring all that out.
Who was your fourth line in all the years when you won those Stanley Cups?
Well, our first year, 95, we We had the infamous crash line, Bobby Holik, Randy McKay, and Mike Peluso. Randy McKay
that
had,
was your fourth line.
That was our fourth line. Randy McKay had 8 goals in those playoffs when we won the Stanley
Cup.
He had
20 goals that year?
Yeah, he had 20 that year. Played along with the way the game was played, and fight anybody, have over 250
Randy
minutes.
McKay.
Then Bobby Holik, who was an absolute beast. I think he had 8 or 9 goals that playoffs. Peluso, we know what he brought in that element. He was big, he was physical, but played a smart game.
Yeah.
He knew how to play the game, what it was going to help his team win. So that was our fourth line at the time. And, you know, moving forward, as we got a little more talent, and McKay was still a fourth liner in 2000. He was on that second cup. But guys like Sergei Nemchinov and, you know, you go on down
fourth
the list.
Fourth liner. 67 games, 16 goals, 23 assists.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people –
the next year, 23 goals, 20 assists.
Who's this?
Randy McKay. Ever heard of him?
I played with him.
I bet you there are many people out there. I know you did. I heard
loved
you say
him.
That.
Loved him. What a teammate.
Yeah.
And a leader. See, not only you think fourth lines, well, your fourth line, they're not as important. So important because he was such a leader in the locker room, too, and chipping in. And, yes, protecting teammates when the game that was more prevalent in the game. But doing anything to win. You can say it with your mouth.
Like
it's got to connect to your heart for – collectively as a team, and you have more guys that want to win, especially the competitive balance in this league now, it's a fine line, right?
Yep.
I mean, 20 teams think they can win the Stanley Cup if they get in the playoffs, and that's probably true, but then it's about that little
extra.
We
need more players in this league right now that played like Randy McKay. He was a guy that could score goals, but he also identified when he needed to be physical, when he needed to stick up for teammates. He was
changed the tempo of the game. He understood the element.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of players don't understand that anymore. And, again, like I said, we know the fisticuff aspect of it is certainly not there the way it used to be, understandably so. And I've gone with the times. I've enjoyed the skill and the speed. But there's still time to be physical, disrupt the flow of another team. A lot of times I see too often teams go quietly in the night, including our team, when you're down 4-1. Instead of – you can see the flow. A team's got all the momentum. Do something to disrupt it, a little stop. It doesn't have to be a fight, but get involved, right, Craig? I mean,
that's right. That's right.
Well, you definitely weren't afraid to get involved. Is he going to join us, or are we poofing Dano out of here? All right, we'll just have him join us. Marco Scandella going to slide into the conversation. Marco, I don't think you need any introduction.
How
for
are
this.
You, Marco? Kenny Danikin, nice seeing you. Pleasure meeting you.
This guy's an absolute maniac, Marco. You might want to stay away from 1,283 games, 2,500 PIMs, 3 Stanley Cups. No big deal.
I don't have to worry.
No big deal.
I don't have to worry about anybody breaking that Pally Miller record in today's game from my team. But it was a whole nother time, a whole nother era.
Get a guy
it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah. All you need are 250 10-minute misconducts, and you're absolutely golden. Speaking of golden, you're having a great year, Marco.
Thanks.
Welcome to the show. First time, I think, in person.
Yeah.
You were on when you first got traded. How's it going? Obviously, injury early, but season's been going great for you.
Yeah, it's going great. Body feels great. I feel like the team's playing well. We just look fresh out there, so everything's good.
Let me ask you this. This weekend, you guys played 2 games against Toronto. Did you sense, because I felt like I could see it, an elevation of emotion for those games, especially the one here and the fact that it was Toronto?
Absolutely. Those are playoff games for us. I feel like this year we finally figured out that those are the big games that we got to play big in. So it was a 5-7 for us. Played a lot of games that week.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just came out. Big game in front of our fans. You know, it's not an easy building to play against them because they bring half their fans down here too. So it was just an emotion-filled game. I felt like we were down too early. And we just came back, and, you know, that's the identity of our team. We just never give up. And then we go to Toronto. You know, we could take your foot off the gas a little bit, but, you know, we play another great game there, give ourselves a chance to win, get a point. So 3 out of 4 coming into 5-7. I mean, that's pretty good for us.
Yeah. How's it been with you guys are rested because you're running 7D now, but
yeah.
How's that been with the rotation with the 7D man?
It's an adjustment, but I feel like everyone could play with everyone. We just have great skating defensemen, great puck moving guys, and back there, you know, we're like a little family back there, just pumping each other up. So we're just having fun with it.
Well, you've been a big part of Joakim Harju and his upbringing. He's played very well with the year. I think he's played his best hockey when you guys were playing together, especially at the start of the year. I thought it was certainly one of our top pairs. How has that been playing with this young kid?
I feel like he's special. He's a young kid. He just he makes veteran plays out there. He's poised with the puck, easy to read off of. I feel like I played with a similar player in Minnesota with Jared Spurgeon in 2014.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know that type of player, and you know, we read off each other very well. And I feel like the chemistry is there. You can't teach chemistry. I feel like it's either there or it's not. And I feel like from day one, you know, we've gotten along off the ice too. And kudos to him. I mean, he works hard in practice, and he's fun to play with.
Can you understand him when he talks to you? We had him on the show, and he was either just not interested in talking to us, which is possible. It's very possible, but he didn't seem like he'd like to talk very much.
Sometimes the Finns, they come off a little bit cold, but when you get him one-on-one, he's
they are
catty.
Cold, eh?
I heard that he's, like, super talkative in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's kind of weird that you say that. But, I mean, you know, like, the Finns are kind of weird. They're a little bit cold, a little bit shy. But when you get them one-on-one,
until you get a couple of drinks in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the Finns come out. That's familiar because Sammy Vatanen on the Devils, quiet off the ice, but one of the funniest guys in the locker room. So, yeah. Another Finnish player.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of a common thing. 10 to 12 beers to get a personality going myself. But we always got there somehow. Let me ask you, well, Rib played with Markov in Montreal. He said he didn't speak a lick of English.
No, I didn't. I played with him. He was my partner for 7 years. I didn't say one word to him. We had the visual. You know, partnership. You
guys now that's chemistry.
You guys had the spiritual connection. You don't need no words needed.
Yeah.
So what else? Are you all settled in here? I mean, let me ask you this. Your name has been brought up in trade rooms. I don't know if you hear this stuff. Media is so small. But, I mean, what is that like for a player? I'm not suggesting you will be traded. I'm not suggesting you won't be traded. I'm just saying, how do players deal with that? I was never a player that had to deal with it. I don't know about Dano or Riv. Riv actually got traded midway through a season, but does it change anything
in
for you?
In my free UFA year, I got traded. So
that's because they knew you were going to take him to the cleaners with a contract. Right?
Yeah, they
like Rive, he's not even French. We got to get rid of him. But does it? I've always wondered about the psyche of a player when they hear those. When they hear you've been traded already once, yeah. Right? So I'm just wondering when you hear your name in trade rumors, how do players handle that? Do you talk to other players? Are you constantly in contact with agents? I mean, or do you just kind of let it go?
I take the approach of kind of letting it go. I feel like the older I get in this game, the more I try to keep my bubble small. So getting off social media and just kind of just being around the guys and making that bubble smaller. I feel like the more you think about outside things, the more it gets in your head. So, I mean, of course, I've talked to my agent about it and talked to people about it. You know, I feel like it's there. It's a potential thing that could happen. But I just want to stay focused on being the best I can for the team. You know, bringing my best every day and not putting too much stress on myself. I feel like stress is the enemy, right? You don't want to feel that. So just having fun with the game. And, you know, I'm having a great time here. I love it here. I moved to the suburbs recently this year. So I was living 2 years downtown. And I moved to the suburbs. Change of pace. I'm getting older, but I feel like, you know, just enjoying this great city and love it.
He turns 30. He turns 30 in February.
I know Marco's got a lot of years left to play, but he could jump right into media. The way he handles himself.
Well, we're not looking for our jobs to be taken down. You might be secure in yours, all right?
But you know what? I want to make a comment on that when he says rumors. Rumors mean other teams are interested, obviously. So a lot of times it comes from that as well. And obviously, yeah, if you've got a lot of defensemen, a lot of good defensemen in Buffalo and different pieces along the way, it's always part of it. But to handle it the way he just spoke about it is the fact.
Yeah,
I played 20 years with one team. I'm very fortunate. I did, I feel, obviously, in winning some cups. But I was going to Calgary in 1989. It was a done deal. It was in the New York Post. Done deal, traded to Calgary. I'm like, what? I didn't know. I read it in the paper. Well,
oh, you didn't have Twitter, you have Twitter back then?
15 years later, it never transpired. So I think the right attitude is you can't really dial in on those kinds of things. You hear the scuttlebutt, but obviously today's social media world, you're right, you get so much.
That's a great,
these guys,
that's
is
a
tough. They got to stay off it sometimes.
I mean, you got to stay off. As a professional athlete, I know it's
except
so
for when you rip one glove side, eh?
Oh, then Marco, you go watch the highlights a few times.
100%. We're all tuning in. go on. Sorry, Riv, you were saying something.
No. I think you just have, you have the right mindset. I mean, you know, I think that social media can really wear on you, good and bad. I think sometimes when you watch social media and things are going well, you can kind of get that in your mind. Nice to keep a nice even keel, especially in the situation you're at, unrestricted free agent. You've played really well for the Sabres this year. And, you know, we keep on talking about, you know, there's going to be movement. We have a lot of defense here. Right now it looks like it's working out pretty well with you guys with that rotation so far. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Marco.
I know a team that could use them.
Your time's over, Dano.
Just kidding. Yes.
You know what, Dano? Maybe we're keeping him. Right? When was the last time we saw a guy in this squad as plus 11?
Yeah.
You didn't know he's plus 11, eh? Did you know that, right?
Are you leading the team? That has
you know you're it. Plus 11, Marco.
I knew I got a few of them.
Yeah, I've always wondered. It's funny because we don't put as much on it, maybe even in our day where we looked at it consistently, but it over the long term, it means something.
Well, you know,
you're on for more goals for than you are against. For me as a defenseman, no, I might not be on for a lot of goals. You got to be fortunate at times, although I did play with Niedermeyer for a lot of years, so I knew I'd be on for some goals. But it was about I took pride in not being on for goals against. That was it. And I'm sure, Marco, you have the same mindset. I'm exactly. not going to be on for any goals against.
When you get in front of that net, you battle with everything you have. Yeah. You make sure that there's no chance the other guy can score. Absolutely.
We have to go for time's sake. Would love to have you on, but I want to ask you this. You're from Montreal. Born and raised.
Look at this. I brought my Montreal shirt out today.
But you don't even sound like you're from Quebec.
I know. There's an English side of Montreal also. I'm bilingual. I went to school in French immersion, so it's French and English.
Where'd you live there?
NDG. So pretty much downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, grew up downtown.
All right. Wow. I love it. I mean, I'm like, I knew you played in the queue, but then
so
I didn't
you
know you were actually from the queue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
I live in Griffintown. Yeah, right by the water. Great city. Love it.
I was telling Riv about a night out I had there. It was the old Rouge still around?
Yeah, it's still around.
Is it still around?
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys went out to those places?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Dano. I forgot, Dano. You were so disciplined.
Yeah,
curfew was always your main priority.
If there was social media back then, I would have been in deep trouble.
If I were social media back when I played, I might have been out of the league a year earlier.
I'm going to tell you this. I can't believe I'm still sitting here right now. Hey,
by the way, we're having such a blast. I think your producer's back.
He's told us to break.
He's telling you to break.
Six times. Because guess who's coming?
Cut it.
Hey.
Cut it.
Watch out for this guy in the locker room. Hey, Paul Hamilton, Marco. I hear that, Hammy.
Ones. He's
yeah.
one of the good ones.
I'm going to throw some bones your way. Marco Scandella, kind enough to join us quickly. We got to get out of here. Ken Danico, kind enough to join us in that segment, too. Paul Hamilton coming up. Instigators right here from the KeyBank Center. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Live from the Seneca Studio, this is The Instigators.
All right, don't forget, tonight is Founders Night, pregame on-ice ceremony featuring families of Seymour and Norty Knox. The founders of the franchise, BBG, will air tonight on the broadcast on all platforms. Stuff going on in the atrium, live music, happy hour here at the rink. Mike Robitaille is going to be doing a guest color commentary during the second period. And lots going on around the rink, as I mentioned to you. It's Founders Night. Thank you, Marco Scandella and Ken Danico, for joining us. Amazing segment. We got to do more with Marco going forward. A lot of fun, obviously.
What a stud.
Yeah. Dano, very great, kind enough well to spoken. Join us all the time when they come into town. So we got to go to break because we blessed you all with an amazing segment, a little longer than we were supposed to go. So I got to get out of here for right now. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, a lot of fun today. Ken Danico came on. That's always a good time. Such a wonderful man. Yep. And obviously,
he was a player.
Yeah, incredible player, incredible hockey knowledge, wisdom, champion, all of it. But I got to say, the surprise of the day for me was Marco Scandella. He came in all guns a-blazing, personality roaring, and great perspective, I think, from a player.
Well, Ken Danico said it best. He's going to take our jobs. He's very well-spoken, really good. I really like his thought process and the way that he's kind of dealing with his season in particular, and being an unrestricted free agent and having trade rumors surrounding his name. And I loved how he puts things in perspective for himself, trying to stay away from the media and worry about the small bubble, which is at the rink. And I think that's a really, really good way of looking at things.
Can I focus on a stat that I put zero emphasis on?
Absolutely.
Plus minus. And I mentioned Scandella's plus minus when he was on, and
yeah.
he's caught you by surprise. He's plus 11. Last year he was minus 15. Year before that, maybe 13 or something like that, minus 13. So for a player that's been in the minuses for a couple of years to be in the plus is huge. Do you know what the plus minus is?
Every single team was in the minus.
Jack, plus 6. Olofsson, even. Rasmus Dahlin, plus 2. You know what Risto is?
I don't.
Remember Risto last year took a lot of heat. Green jacket winner. He's even.
Is he?
Yes.
Good for him. They're obviously collectively as an entire team, they seem to be stronger defensively in their zone. But this is a great stat for Marco Scandella. It shows that he's certainly a guy that you can put on the ice, and he's going to have success. And I think he's played really, really well with the young guy, Joakim Hartgren.
A rare Monday show during football season for us here today, but make sure you tune into the game tonight, 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock puck drop. New Jersey Devils in town, and keep an eye on Taylor Hall. A lot of trade talk and speculation around him. Instigators tomorrow back in studio. Marty will be with us. And a great week ahead. JR Wednesday, Elliot Thursday, Dreger Friday. See you tomorrow.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.